Hello and welcome back to the Nerd Podcast. That's Never Ending Retro Dialogue. I am Jordan.
I'm Doug.
Today we are gathered here to talk about our month in review for May, if you can believe it.
Man, it's just flying by this year.
It's going by. I don't know what's going on.
5 months in.
Ooh. Yeah, like when you say it like that, it's almost half a year.
Yeah. Gosh. Man. How's it going?
It's going all right. I have it's Memorial Day, so it's kind of nice outside, and so we're having a little cookout later. And
nice. Very good.
Hopefully. Unless it starts to rain, then it's going to become a cook-in.
A cook-in.
As I started to call it.
Get the George Foreman out.
Yeah.
Just throw everything on that, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So, how are you?
Doing all right. Golf this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had the day off, so.
Did you get any hole-in-ones?
I did not get any hole-in-ones. I didn't get any holes in twos.
Oh.
I don't think I get a holes in three either.
That's okay.
It was a nice day, though. You know, it started off a little dreary because it was raining as we were driving to the course, but ended up being a nice day. So, the sun's out, the skies are blue, and what more can you ask for?
Nothing, not on this Memorial Day.
But yeah, so, oh goodness. Where do we even begin for this month?
Yeah, well, one thing I wanted to talk about before I forgot, because I did it at the beginning of the month, was I saw Planet of the Kingdom of the Apes.
Oh, okay. How was that?
I liked it. Now, it doesn't take a lot for me to like a Planet of the Apes movie.
Sure.
As you know, I have a thing for apes, in comic books especially, but in movies too. And I saw it when it came out, so this was early May. So, I don't think it was quite as good as the last one they made, which, War for the Planet of the Apes,
I think. Yes.
But, you know, that was also the end of the trilogy with Caesar.
Uh-huh.
I think Caesar was such a great character.
Mm-hmm.
So this one, I think, is setting up for another trilogy.
Really? Okay.
Probably. I have read that they are planning on 9 films.
Wow.
So I'm thinking there's going to be 3 trilogies.
Wow.
I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I heard.
That's a lot of apes. That's interesting. Yeah. I had not seen that. Now, admittedly, I watched the first one, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, right? With James Franco.
Yeah.
Don't think I've watched the other two, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes and War of the Planet of the Apes. So, I've seen clips of them, because Woody Harrelson's in one of them,
right? He's in the third one,
yeah. Okay. But I've not watched them. I've heard they're good.
Yeah, I like them a lot. But
I enjoyed the first one. I don't know what kept us from watching the other two.
I think the first one is the weakest one.
Oh, okay.
So, I think they get better, because they become more ape-centric.
Gotcha. Well, they are more interesting characters.
Yeah, first one's pretty James Franco heavy.
It was fairly James Franco heavy, yes, that is true.
So, I saw that. I think that was the only... Well, that's the only movie I went to the theaters for.
Okay.
This month, but it was pretty... It's nerd... You know, it's nerd-related, because Planet of the Apes is a nerd IP, so...
It is. We were talking about the original the other day. And Sharon did not realize we owned it. I've got it on DVD. So I think one night we're going to sit and watch it, because the kids have never watched any of them.
Ooh. So do they know the ending?
They do not know the ending. So, so we're gonna watch that one night. Maybe I'll make it a Charlton Heston night, because I recently purchased on Vudu Soylent Green, too, and Wyatt's never seen that.
I've never seen Soylent Green either.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, man.
I know. You'd think I would have, but I just never did.
Oh, such a good movie. But, what else did you watch then?
Let me think about that. Well, as of last night, we started watching Battlestar Galactica.
Okay.
The original Battlestar Galactica.
Oh.
Because I want to watch them both.
The one with what's his name? Lorne Greene. And the guy who played Face in A-Team.
I don't know his name. I can't think of his name, but
I can't think of it either.
But he's handsome. That's for sure.
Yes. He's got a face.
But we finished up
Dirk. It's Dirk something.
Dirk. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It is Dirk something.
It's Dirk something.
We finished up watching Trailer Park Boys.
Okay.
Which is not really nerd related, but it's what we watched.
Yeah.
And then I had bought, you can't really stream Battlestar Galactica, so I had to buy it.
Really?
Yeah. So
you can't stream the original?
Not that
anywhere?
I could find it.
Wow.
So
Benedict.
Dirk Benedict, yeah.
Dirk Benedict. There we go.
Yeah. So we watched the first two episodes of that. It's pretty high concept for 1978. I'm like, whoa. Have you watched the original one?
I have.
Okay.
Yes.
I thought it was pretty, you know, the first couple episodes were pretty good. I think the reboot will probably be better.
It is.
Okay.
It is.
but I wanted to be, I'm kind of a completist.
Yeah.
And I'd like to, you know, have them both under my belt.
It's worth a watch, I think, because it's kind of cool to see where it came from.
Yeah, where the lore comes from.
Exactly. I always enjoyed it. Of course, when I was watching it, it was in reruns and I was a kid.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just thought it was cool. Ooh, in space. So, yeah, it's definitely worth a watch. The reboot with Edward James Olmos and Katie Sackhoff and all that is definitely better.
Yeah, I look forward to watching that one. So, eventually, that will be in the podcast review.
Nice.
But, you know, because this original one only had one season, so.
Yeah.
Knock it out in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Well, that'll be good.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Did you watch anything?
Let's see. Wyatt and I started watching Big O.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
That is, if for those who don't remember, we talked about that. It's an anime from the late 90s, early 2000s. It was pretty good. So we're only a few episodes in, maybe only two episodes in. But let me tell you, the action gets right to it. And Wyatt absolutely loves, there's this, like, in every episode so far, there's been, like, this really odd placement of a jazz saxophone solo. And so you're just kind of, it's just in the weirdest spots. But, yeah, so kind of how it was described. So you got this guy who's super rich, and he's, like, a some kind of investigator for the government. And he ends up taking on this one, or he's a negotiator, not an investigator, he's a negotiator. And he took on this one case and it goes south. Androids and mad scientists are involved and giant robots are fighting each other. It's just wicked cool. And of course, all this is happening and you've got like no background. You have no idea what's going on. All of a sudden, this dude just jumps in this big robot to start, you know, fighting Pacific Rim style, right?
Good. Yeah.
And but yeah, it was cool. We enjoyed it. We're looking forward to carving out some more time so that we can watch more of it.
Yeah.
So we started that. We finished watching X-Men 97
on Disney Plus. I heard it's really great.
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Animation's great. The story is really good. Setting up for a very interesting season two. I have some theories as to what we could be seeing, but since you've not watched it and maybe others have it. It's really good. And boy, there's the second to last episode. There's something that happens in the comics. And you're just, Wyatt and I are just sitting there going, oh my gosh. It was great. Enjoyed it very much. Couldn't recommend that enough. Especially if you're a fan of the original X-Men animated series, or an X-Men fan at all.
Yeah.
It was really good. But you sit there and watch that and you go, why can't they do something this good live action?
Yeah.
Some of the X-Men movies have been good.
Yeah.
You know, and then others have just not. And I think there's been more not than,
yeah,
than good, right? At least in my opinion. But yeah, this was well done. What else did we watch? We actually watched quite a bit. I'm just struggling. We watched Iron Claw. The Iron Claw, that's the wrestling movie with
About the Von Erichs.
The Von Erichs with Zac Efron.
How was that?
That was really good.
Yeah.
I had already heard all the hype and stuff. So I knew it wasn't going to be like, you know, a wrestling movie, yeah. You know. But man, it was good. You just sit there and go, how much more can a family endure?
Yeah.
You know, it is just, and the fact that they actually didn't, they left out one of the brothers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they left out Chris. So, and I'm not sure why, maybe just for time reasons, because the movie was already 2 hours and 15 minutes, but literally they could have had him in there and it wouldn't have made the movie much longer.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really good. Zac Efron was just crazy good in it.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed his performance. Yeah, the ending was just, whew, it hits you.
Yeah.
So it very much worth a watch. But it's one of those movies I don't know if it's rewatchable.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's just so guttural, so... But the performances, like Jeremy Allen White?
Yeah.
I mean, he was really good in it. I don't know the young men's name that played the other two brothers that they had portrayed. The guy who played the dad was just a grade A-hole.
Yeah.
Which, apparently, Kevin, who was Zac Efron played, didn't appreciate how they portrayed his father.
Oh.
They thought that they'd made him look kind of rank, and he wasn't quite that way, according to him. So, but yeah, it was really good. It's worth a watch.
Okay.
Definitely worth a watch.
Yeah, I want to watch it. I haven't sat down.
I get it, man. Yeah. So I'm just trying to think if Sharon and I have watched anything else. I don't think so. I was disappointed, and I probably should apologize to everyone, because last month I was telling, at the end of the month, I said, hey, Godzilla Minus One will be on Prime, and it is on Prime, but Japan Prime, not our Prime, because I went to go watch it. I wanted to watch the black and white version, and it was nowhere to be found, so I went and found the news article that I had read saying that, hey, you're going to have this. No, it said Japan, and I was just so excited I didn't notice that. I didn't see that it said Japan. So apparently we won't get anything digitally or in a hard copy of it until sometime later this year.
A
very big shame. I don't understand. I get there's some kind of licensing agreement with Legendary Pictures and blah, 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 but come on. It won an Oscar.
Yeah. Let the people see Godzilla.
Let the people see Godzilla. So, but yeah, so didn't get to watch that. I'm trying to think what else I've watched. That might be it. Besides Chopped. We like watching Chopped. I did some reading.
Yeah? What'd you read?
I actually pulled it up because I couldn't believe how much I've actually read, because you know how I've been struggling.
I did some reading as well.
So I read Moon Knight Countdown to Dark, which is the collection of all of the Moon Knight stories that came in the back of the Rampaging Hulk magazines.
Mm.
So Doug Mensch and Bill Sienkiewicz, were on that.
Nice.
And look, I'm a Moon Knight fiend. I actually own the Rampaging Hulk essential. That those are also in that. But I was reading it while I was had some downtime, so I was reading it on my Kindle. I read the first the first issue into Transformers Unicron, which I did not realize. I thought it was a one shot.
Yeah.
It was a lead into the last run that IDW did.
Oh.
So it was good. Then I read a horror comic called The Evil Tree. And that was, man, the tree was evil.
Yeah.
They put it right there for you. It was wild. I wish I could eat. It was almost like a fever dream what I was reading. Because this woman finally moved on to this property that was she grew up on. But then she started having these horrible nightmares. And, yeah, the tree wanted her kids back. Meaning that all these trees that got cut down for firewood. So, yeah, the tree was getting revenge.
Oh, my God.
It was
wild.
Sounds
Evil Dead.
It was very much like that. And then I read a comic called Deep Roots, or at least the first episode of, or first issue of that from Vault Comics. And how do I describe that one? Basically, this dude, like, reawakens when the need to defend arrives, and he like grows out of a tree. So there is, I was definitely in a theme.
A tree theme.
I didn't mean to be.
Right.
I don't have any more issues of that, but now I'm going to have to try to find it. And then I read a single issue called Dead Man's Run. And then I read an independent comic called Space Doubles, and it was kind of an anthology book. And then I read a Spotlight Transformer Spotlight issue on Shockwave.
Ooh.
That one was quite good. I always thought Shockwave was an underused character.
I was gonna say that, yeah.
But he's been getting his due in the comics. The big one I read, though, this month is I read the collection of Transformers Autocracy, which is, it was three books. You had Autocracy, Monstrosity, and Primacy, and it's basically, it was well, kind of a retelling of the beginnings of the Cybertronian Wars, where Orion Pax is, you know, he's a soldier for this one prime who ends up, they're kind of a fascist government.
No.
And Megatron was rising up the rebellion, and but then all of a sudden Prime sees the error of his ways, or excuse me, Orion Pax,
right,
sees the error of his ways, and him and Megatron work together to free Cybertron from this horrible government. But then Megatron takes control, and well, you know, Megatron's not a good dude.
No.
And so, but there we go. So that's your, you've got the Dinobots in it, but they've got a really cool backstory. Like, the Dinobots were a kind of a black ops group where they would go in and do these missions that no one else could do, and they saw things that no other bot had seen. And they some wild stuff happened with them, and some heart-wrenching stuff happened, especially with Grimlock.
Oh no.
It was really wild to see what they were able to do with the story, because so it was written by let me see, I want to get their names right. Chris Metzen and Flint Ollie. And then the art was by Livio Romandelli. The story is fantastic. And, you know, it's got these deeper layers than just a Transformer story. You know, you've got these government political workings and betrayals and how do societies and civilizations, you know, exist and endure. It was just, it was really good. The artwork is fantastic in it. There were some spots that were just crazy. But yeah, it was a good read. But it was one of the longer things I've read in a long time. It was like 400 pages. But it was worth it. It was great. I've got the Wrecker Saga downloaded to read next.
Nice.
But yeah, so it's really given me a jump start. I did start reading the History of the World in Six Glasses.
Yeah, how's that?
That's been good so far. I'm a couple chapters into it.
Couple glasses in.
I am a couple of glasses in. We're talking about beer right now. So a good month for reading, yeah. Which it's been a long time since I've read that much. So I was thrilled. But yeah, how about you? Did you get anything?
I did. Comics wise, I've been reading more Hellboy, which
okay,
I think is pretty standard fare for me at this point, because there's so much of it. I'm almost to the end though of my list, so I'm almost caught up with them in real time.
Wow.
I think I'm maybe 6 or 7 comics behind now. I don't know. I'd have to look at it. But so I read some of that, and I read the Silver Lanterns Club, which is like the Silver Lanterns Club was a group of adventurers who were in the Victorian era.
Uh-huh.
They were like a sort of unofficial BPRD kind of, but they were all like centered in London. So I read that, and then I'm reading The Bones of Giants right now, which takes place in 1988. Now, one thing I want to do eventually, now, I'm going to have to wait until they stop making Hellboy comics, so this may never happen, but I want to read them in the chronological order of the Hellboy universe in terms of the stories when they take place.
Oh, my.
So, starting with, you know, whatever, probably Witchfinder, I think that's, there might be some before Witchfinder, I don't know, but are you familiar with Witchfinder?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Witchfinder, if you're not familiar, is set in the Victorian era, and it's Edward Gray is the Witchfinder. So, I want to read them in the order from beginning to end. But, yeah, I know. That's my ultimate dream, I guess.
Yeah.
Some people want to grow up to be actors and firefighters and stuff. I want to read Hellboy in chronological order.
We all have our crosses
to
bear.
Yeah. And then, otherwise, I started reading Black Hammer stuff again. I'm on Black Hammer 45.
Nice.
You know that?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, so this one is interesting because it's set during World War II, and it's drawn by Matt Kent, who has a very unique style in watercolors his work, so it's really cool. So this is, like, following... I've only read the first issue so far, but it's following, like a Challenger of the Unknown kind of...
Mm-hmm.
A group of World War II fighters. So, yeah, I don't know. I did that. What else did I read? I finished Sirens of Titan by Kurt Vonnegut.
Oh, okay.
That was really good. I like that better than Player Piano. Not as good as Slaughterhouse-5, but... Oh, and I started reading Slaughterhouse-5, the graphic novel.
Okay.
It's I didn't realize this, but it's adapted by Ryan North. Mm-hmm. Who did Unbeatable Squirrel Girl. So he's, like, indebted to, he's, like, in my heart as one of my favorites, I guess. So I started reading that. It's pretty good. I was reading it in the car on vacation, which I'll talk about in a little bit. But, yeah, so I started reading that. And it's really interesting, though, because, like, I love that book so much that I was like, you know what? Even this comic isn't quite as good as the original. And you know how comics for me are, like...
Yeah.
They're the ones for me. But anyway, in novel forms, I've been reading some more Cormac McCarthy books.
Mm-hmm.
I am about done with The Orchard Keeper. I have no idea what's going on. His attribution of characters is very confusing because they're not properly marked most of the time. Like, it'll say the old man said, and I'm like, I don't know who the old man is. Like, which one is the old man? Or, he said this, they said this, and I'm like, okay, like, so, but it's really well written, though, otherwise I wouldn't have read so much of it, but it's very literary, I think, so, but the big thing I wanted to talk about was my obsession of the month.
Yeah.
It's starting.
Yeah.
You know.
Uh-huh.
It's Stephen King.
I thought that's where we were going.
I started listening to On Writing.
Mm-hmm.
You know this book?
No.
On Writing is a nonfiction book. It's part memoir, part how to write.
Okay.
Basically. It's a book about writing.
Okay.
It's very influential in the writing circle. I've never read it before. but I wanted to listen to it because it was read by Stephen King.
Oh.
So I started listening to it, and I was like, man, this guy, he's really cool. Like, you know, I wanna know what Stephen King's about. Now, I have read Cycle of the Werewolf, which is what Silver Bullet is based on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the illustrated by Bernie Wrightson version. So I had to read that a couple of years ago for Halloween. But other than that, the only other Stephen King book I read was the Dark Tower, The Gunslinger.
Uh-huh.
The first one. Which was really good. But like there's like 8 of them and they're huge. So I'm like, I don't know. So I started thinking, like, maybe I'll check out Stephen King. And he's going to quickly become my new obsession because I got a book called If It Bleeds,
mm-hmm.
which is 4 short stories, but they're longer short stories. I don't know if you would consider them novellas.
Yeah.
But they're 4 collected stories, and I'm about halfway through that book.
Nice.
And I got it on Friday.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that's wild.
I know. I just keep reading it, and I'm like, whoa, I'm almost done with the second story. Which is really good. The first story was pretty good, but the second story I like a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
So, I also have a book on hold of his called Night Shift, which mm-hmm. has a bunch of short stories in
yes.
it. You know this one?
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to read Graveyard Shift, and it's in there. And there's a bunch of stories in there. So, I want to check out his short fiction, because I've been told it's better than his long stuff. But I mean, I'm going to check out his long form stuff, too, but...
I mean, I don't know if I'd agree with that, yeah. but there's a lot of great short stories. So, like, one of my favorite books of his is called Different Seasons.
Yes, I thought that's the one. I was trying to think of the one that you were looking for, you liked.
Yeah, because you've got The Body, which the movie right, Stand By Me is based on. Then you've got the Rita Hayworth in this Shawshank Redemption, which is what Shawshank Redemption is based on. So those are really good. And then there was a collection I have, I don't know if I still have it down there or not, called the Bachman books,
where
it's all the stories that he wrote as Richard Bachman. And then one was called Rage. There's the Long Walk. Running Man was in there. There was a couple more. That was a good book, but man, he's got a lot of books that are really good. They're like Cujo. I'm sorry, Cujo's just amazing.
It's funny that you bring up Cujo, because on writing, he talks about how he can't remember writing Cujo.
Really?
Because he was so coked out.
Oh, my God.
He's like, I loved that book, but I don't remember writing it.
Oh, my God. I tell you what, I remember the first time I read it, I was scared to death. And, like, the night, because I read it in, like, a day and a half.
Right.
And the night I started, it was a thunderstorm. And so it was just... It was just storming like crazy. You had the thunder and lightning, and then you got this ravenous dog. It was just freaking me out. But he's got, Thinner's really good.
Yeah.
I tend to stay away from his big, grand, epic ones. I know I've got friends that love The Stand.
Yeah.
And
I've heard kind of mixed things about The Stand.
I read it once.
Oh, really?
And great, but it's just so long. Yeah. I can't. I did recently get, I think I already talked to you about this, I got a couple of fantasy. There's a new one they did called Fairy Tale that I haven't started yet, but then I ordered one and got it a few weeks ago called Eye of the Dragon.
Yeah.
Which supposedly is kind of like set in the same world as Gunslinger, but it's not connected to the story.
Mm.
I don't know. I haven't read it yet, but... he's just got so much good stuff.
Yeah, I'm really surprised because like I was never adverse to reading him, but I was just like, oh, I think Stephen King to me is the same thing that with comics and anime where there's so much of it.
Yes.
That you're like, I don't know what to start with.
Yeah.
And our friend, the Lindemans, suggested If It Bleeds. And I knew we had a copy at the library, so I just went and grabbed it. And I was mm-hmm. like, you know what? I'm just going to start. And I'm just like, his writing style is so clean and so engaging. And it's not like puffy, you know? It's not like a puff piece or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm just, like, reading this, and I'm like, wow, like, I want to read more of this.
Yeah.
So...
He can get wordy.
He can a little bit, yeah.
He can, but for the most part, it's usually darn good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I want to read more of his stuff.
So, you probably, especially since you've not read this. Now, I've not read this either, but it's one that's been recommended to me several times, and that's 11/22/63.
Right. I've not read that, but I've seen it coming out of the library a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. A friend of mine who's a huge Stephen King fan has told me for years that I should read that. So, one of these days I'll get a copy of it and add it to the pile.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to reading. Now, this is what's crazy. I was listening to On Writing, and he was expecting like $60,000 for Carrie, and he got a $400,000 deal. Nice. First book.
Wow.
For the rights to paperback.
Wow.
And I was like, what?
That's not bad back then.
No.
He's done okay for himself.
Yeah, he's done all right, you know.
He's... Where would you put him in the pantheon of modern American writers? I mean, I know you've not read a bunch of them, but I mean, obviously people who've never read Stephen King still know he exists, right?
Well, I was thinking about this the other day, because I was like, he has to be the most famous writer alive.
I would think so.
Because everybody knows Stephen King.
Yeah.
I mean, I think J.K. Rowling is probably close, but...
She's doing some things to kind of sour herself.
She's not... She hasn't done a lot of good for herself. But Stephen King, I think, is like... Because there's like a whole genre of Stephen King movies.
Yeah.
And he's not even a writer for movies. He's a writer of books.
Yeah.
But that's how many books have been made into movies. And short stories have been made into movies.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think he's got to be the most recognizable living author.
I would say that that's probably...
That's got to be the case because, I mean, I can't think of anybody that everybody's going to be like, oh, yeah, like... And the thing with Stephen King is, like, everybody's going to be like, oh, yeah, I read a different book.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, everybody's going to say something that, I read It, I read Cujo, I read Carrie.
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah.
Everybody has a different touchstone for him.
Misery.
Misery, yeah. Oh, that's one I'm thinking about reading, too, but...
Under the Dome.
Yeah.
Another TV series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that 11/22, that one's a TV series, too.
Oh, is it?
Uh-huh, with James Franco, actually.
No kidding.
I'm pretty sure it's on Hulu.
Oh, jeez. How about that?
Pretty sure.
Yeah, I mean, and then you've got, you know, the works like Maximum Overdrive. Did you ever watch that?
I did as a kid. I thought it was awesome as a kid.
Oh, absolutely.
And probably because the Green Goblin truck.
Yes. Oh, the Green Goblin truck. How can you beat that? And then, you know, he worked with George A. Romero to do Creepshow. And, I mean, it's just, the dude's an institution.
Yeah. That's the thing is, like, he is an institution. He's not just a writer. He's, like, a cultural touchstone in America, you know, or even in the world, but in America especially. Now, I don't know if I ever told you, but I drove by his house once.
Oh, really?
I was in Bangor.
Really?
Yeah, and I drove by his house. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's something in Bangor. Something in the air in Bangor. I'm like, I get it. Because it's like, it just... And I don't know if it's... Here's the thing. I don't know if it feels that way because Stephen King lives there, or if Stephen King lives there because it feels that way.
Yeah.
So...
Which came first,
yeah.
There we go. Oh, man.
So, I'm like... And If It Bleeds came out like... a year ago maybe, so it's new, so I'm really looking forward to reading some of the classic stuff. Like I know that the Graveyard Shift or the Night Shift has like Graveyard Shift, Children of the Corn, and a bunch of other famous short stories, and I was just like, wow, this is gonna be interesting. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah,
but you know, I love short stories because my attention span is like that. So
that's I love the anthology books too that have the short stories in them, because you can read one story and then you're done, and then you can pick it up and read the next story, and you don't have to try to remember what happened 200 pages ago. Yeah, yeah. I get it, man.
I do look forward to reading some of his longer stuff, but because I feel like I have unfinished business with The Gunslinger a little bit, because I'm like, I like that first book a lot, but
that first book is so good. I have the whole set.
Oh, really?
Of the Dark Tower series. I believe Sharon and or my sister-in-law helped finish that out. So, I have not completed it.
Yeah.
I need to, and I'll probably end up starting over again.
Yeah.
And going from the beginning to that.
That's what I was thinking, because it's been several years since I read the first one.
But yeah, so, well, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, I'm finding a lot of motivation in him. I haven't written anything, but I'm like, it makes me want to write, so.
Yeah. Well, good.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So we'll see how that goes.
Sweet, what else you got going on?
Well, the other thing that I needed to talk about was that I went to Nancy Fest.
Oh, that's right.
Nancy Fest is a celebration, well, it was a celebration of the comic strip Nancy by Ernie Bushmiller. What a wild time. Like, you know, it wasn't like we were, like, having a party. We weren't, like, burning couches and stuff, but just, like, the fact that there's a Nancy Fest, that's what's wild to me. So, if you're unfamiliar with Nancy, just give it a Google, Nancy Ernie Bushmiller. It is one of the best comic strips ever made. Just so great. But, it was at the Billy Island Museum.
I was just going to ask. I thought that's where it was at, but...
And we're so lucky because the Billy Island Museum is a comic strip museum. It's a comic art museum that's in our backyard. It's on Columbus. Yeah. It's on campus, I mean. It's on OSU campus. Now...
Go Bucks.
Now, never heard of them. Now, this was actually not in the museum itself, but I did get to go see the new exhibit.
Uh-huh.
It's really great. But this was in a classroom that was, like, next door to the museum.
Mm-hmm.
The Charles Schultz Lecture Room, actually, is what it's called. Gene and Charles Schultz Lecture Room. And so, the whole day, basically, it was, like, a bunch of nerds just gathered in this room, listening to people talk about Nancy.
Awesome.
And I'm just like, what a time to be alive. So, there were 4 panels during the day. The first one was a bunch of famous older underground cartoonists.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with the Air Pirates?
No.
The Air Pirates was a very famous underground comic legal battle.
Okay.
Where a guy drew a Mickey Mouse comic, and it had something to do with Air Pirates.
Okay.
And he got sued by Disney, and he actually ended up winning.
Oh.
Because Disney decided it wasn't worth it, I guess. But he was there.
Uh-huh.
And he also ghost draws Hagar the Horrible now.
Really?
Yeah. And so there was a couple of the guys. And then Dennis Kitchen was there. Are you familiar with him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you're not familiar with Dennis Kitchen, he's a very famous underground comics artist and publisher. And he was there. And so that was the first panel. It was like him and 4 other guys talking about Ernie Bushmiller and starting the Ernie Bushmiller Society or whatever. So that was pretty cool. The second panel was a pre-recorded video.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was a presentation by Olivia James. Now, Olivia James is the woman who does Nancy now.
Okay.
And it's hilarious. It's kind of divisive because there's a lot of people who are Nancy purists. I got the feeling that a lot of the people who were there were Nancy purists, so I don't know how everybody feels about the new Nancy. I think it's pretty funny because it's very modern. But she was going to be there, but she couldn't make it. But I was really bummed that she couldn't be there because she's, anonymous. Like Olivia James is a pen name.
Uh-huh.
Nobody knows who she really is. Well, I mean, you know what I mean? The readers don't know who she really is. So she did like a presentation that was pretty cool. And then we had lunch, which was really awesome because I was starving. I went to Smashburger because it was across the street.
Okay.
The cool thing about Smashburger is it's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Bad thing about Smashburger is you have to order your fries separately, and I didn't know that, so I just had a cheeseburger, and I was like, I want my fries.
I want fries.
Because, like, why wouldn't you have fries with a cheeseburger? But, I don't know, I guess if you're smashing burgers together, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, and you know who was on the panel with Dennis Kitchen was Brian Walker, who's Mort Walker's son.
Okay.
And he walked into Smashburger and passed me, and I was like, it's Brian Walker. Hey, everybody. So, I went to Smashburger. And then the third panel was a book about the book How to Read Nancy, which is just one of the wildest books. Literally, this book... All right. So, they take one panel,
mm-hmm.
or one comic strip that's 3 panels long, and they break down every to a molecular level everything about this comic strip. And I mean, it's like 50 dissections of this one comic strip.
Oh, jeez.
So they talked about their book and everything, and that was really, that was pretty interesting. I mean, they knew, they know everything about Nancy, you know? I mean, like, that panel is like burned into my brain because I read the book. And because I was like, oh, cool, we'll get like different panels. And I was like, all right, we're going to get a different panel, right? And then like 50 dissections in, I was like, oh my God. So that was pretty interesting. And then the last panel, though, was Bill Griffith, who is the cartoonist behind Zippy the Pinhead. And Zippy the Pinhead is one of my favorite comic strips on the planet. And Bill Griffith was there talking about Nancy.
Wow.
That was really cool. His presentation was all out of order, though. And he was like, oh, no, I messed that up. And I was like, okay. But to be in the same room with Bill Griffith was amazing.
Zippy the Pinhead.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
If you don't know Zippy the Pinhead...
It is glorious.
It's just really surreal. Now, what was really cool was in the exhibit... I went to the exhibit after lunch.
Mm-hmm.
I took a billion pictures, so... And I posted some of them, but I took a million pictures. And some of... There's a ton of original Nancys there, which is just amazing to study. But there's some original Zippy the Pinheads, too.
Oh, wow. Because
they feature Nancy. And so I was just looking at those, and I was like, whoa. Whoa.
That's awesome.
So, but yeah, the exhibit itself is very well done. It's both... So the Billy Island usually has two exhibits going on.
Mm-hmm.
This one, it's all Nancy.
Okay.
So both rooms are Nancy. I like to go back when I was not in between panels, you know? So I'll probably go back another time. Probably take somebody this time. I would have loved to have taken somebody, but I was like, nobody cares about Nancy that much. And my dad was like, oh, I'll go with you. And I was like, well, it's ticketed and they already sold out. And I was also like, you're not going to want to sit here for 6 hours listening about Nancy. Which I thought that was very nice of him, but I was like, you know, I don't think you're going to want to sit here this whole time and listen.
Yeah.
To Nancy.
So what makes Nancy great? If someone's never read Nancy before, give your sales pitch.
So there's two things. The art is so clean and so beautiful. It utilizes the form of the comic strip to perfection, because the art is just so it's undoable. Like, you can't do Nancy. It's so deceptively simple. I've tried to draw Nancy 50 times and I just can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other thing is the writing on Nancy is so perfect. Because he was like in search of the perfect gag his whole career.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can read a Nancy and you know, I think How to Read Nancy breaks it down perfectly, because you can break a Nancy down to a molecular level and realize like this is almost sublime art. You know, what was interesting about Ernie Bushmiller was he actually worked backwards. He worked with the first panel, and then he worked back... the third panel, and then worked backwards.
Oh!
Because he started off with a gag, and he's like, how do I get there? And I think that's what makes it stand out so much, because the gag is, instead of, like, the build-up... Because, like, when I write gags, it's almost always the build-up, and then the gag. But with him, it was like, the gag was there, and then he was like, how do I get there?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what makes it stand out so much. But it's just a very... I don't know the right word for it, but it's just very... It's a unique comic, and it's very... It's funny. Like, even to this day, and, like, people make remixes of it and, like, surrealist comics out of it and stuff. No Context Nancy, stuff like that. It's pliable, and it's, like... It can speak to any reader, you know? It's not for any one reader. It can speak to every... You know, people who are high art people and people who are low art people. And it's almost like a universal thing. And, you know, because with comic strips, it's like words and pictures. And Ernie Bushmiller was like, the less words, the better.
Mm-hmm.
So he was more of a visual gag guy, which is the opposite of me, because I come from a writing background. So maybe that's why I'm not famous yet, because I'm not doing the Ernie Bushmiller method. But I don't know. But yeah, it's just a fun strip. The Olivia James stuff is really good too, because she took the strip. It was being done by Guy Gilchrist
mm-hmm.
for a long time, and then they gave it to her, and she kind of rebooted it. and took it into the 21st century and just really leaned into, like, the modernism of it all. It's really good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like both versions of Nancy. I mean, there's Nancy in between that, because he died in 1982.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bunch of people. Actually, Jerry Scott, who does Baby Blues and Zits, took over Nancy for a while.
Oh, okay.
And they had some of his work there, too.
Oh.
Very different. So there was stuff between her and Bushmiller. But I think it was like there's this renaissance now of Nancy because, you know, partly in part because of Olivia James. So, yeah. So it was really fun. I am glad that I got to go. I'm lucky that the museum is so close.
Yeah.
But there were people flying in.
Wow.
Somebody said that there were people from California there.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
They were there for the Smashburger.
That's got to be what
Smashburger Fest.
I can't stress enough. So, I went to OSU.
Yeah.
And I didn't know the Billy Ireland
Museum. Well, I don't
think
it was there.
Wasn't there when I went,
yeah.
But
oh,
I still didn't know it existed until you told me about it. And then we got to go, what was that, a couple years ago.
Yeah.
That is such a neat place.
Well, the thing with the Billy Ireland is they have original art there. And,
yeah.
Like, if you like Calvin Hobbes, they have original Calvin Hobbes there.
Yeah.
They have original Peanuts. And looking at the Calvin and Hobbes is like a religious experience for me.
Yeah.
So, it's nuts.
Yeah, I was speechless a lot of my walking through there.
Yeah.
And just what a great thing to have.
Yeah.
Makes going to Columbus worth it.
Yeah. And there's also a parking garage right next door, so
exactly.
I don't have to worry about, because I hate parking in the city.
Yeah.
I hate parking in a period, but...
But yeah, parking garage right there, you walk over to it, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So if you're in the Central Ohio area or want something to do in the summer, check out the Billy Ireland Museum.
Yeah, they have the Nancy exhibit up till I don't know when, but they just opened it, so it's going
to
be around for a while.
I may have to go check that out.
Yeah, well, I think we should go, because
yeah,
I would like to go and have more time to, and less people, because there were a lot of people in the exhibit when I was there, too. So
I'm getting a lot of weekends off, so let's make
let's
that happen,
it.
Man.
Let's do it.
Awesome.
It was really great, and I got a lot of compliments on my Karl Barks t-shirt. Well, not a lot, but more... I got some compliments, but not as many as I wanted.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, this is my chance to shine.
Well, you know, maybe the Nancy people are only Nancy
people. Well, you know what's funny, though, because I posted a picture of myself on Twitter, X, and I was like, I'm checking out Nancy Fest, and somebody randomly was like, hey, I was going to tell you. On X, they were like, I meant to tell you how much of a great shirt you had, but I didn't get to. And I was like, who are you? So that was kind of funny.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Making connections across the globe.
It was tough.
Nancy bringing people
Nancy's
together.
Nancy's bringing people together
That's
since
it.
Since the 30s.
That's, my gosh. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll have to check. I know I've read some Nancy, but I couldn't tell you anything about it. So I'll have to get back into it. Maybe I can find some Nancy collections.
Well, there's a book by Brian Walker called The Best of Nancy.
Uh-huh.
You should. That's probably the place to start.
Okay.
Or I have the more modern Nancy, the first book that they put out.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's on Hoopla, though. I'm not sure.
Oh, I'll check that out.
But if you want the classic Nancy, you got to get like one of those collections because... But and what's amazing is like how clean they look even 80, 90 years later.
Yeah.
I mean, that's almost 100 years. You know what I mean? So like they just look like they could have been drawn yesterday
mm-hmm.
is the thing. So...
Testament to the craft
yeah exactly.
Wow, my goodness, what else? That was a pretty big
well right before that I went on vacation.
Ouch.
And I don't know if I don't think I told you this, but I was like sick most of my vacation.
You did not tell me
no,
that
I had a stomach problem most of my vacation.
Oh my gosh.
I don't think I picked up a stomach bug. I think it was my diabetes medicine. Because I started on it again.
Oh.
And I think it messed... Because I took it the day before, and then I noticed that my stomach really hurt. And then, yeah. So I was pretty much out the whole time.
Oh, my gosh.
But I was still doing stuff, but I was like, well, I don't feel great.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I know.
That sucks, man. I'm sorry.
But we went down to Tennessee. It was like a family reunion.
Yeah.
There was like 25 of us.
Holy cow.
On a lake house. It was a really nice house.
Nice.
It was really remote, though. And I was like, are we going to get murdered? We were in Southern Comfort 2, which was right next to Southern Comfort 1.
Oh, okay.
But not in the right way. We were first, and they were second. I was like, what?
Well, what can you say? It's Tennessee.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Sorry if you're from Tennessee. I didn't mean it. Oh, man.
But yeah, I was kind of out most of it because I was just like, I didn't really eat very much because my stomach just felt so bad.
Yeah.
And
that sucks, man.
Yeah, it was rough.
Yikes. That's terrible.
We went on a boat. That was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The water was wet.
Yeah. Didn't see any sharks?
No.
No? No. No inland sharks?
No Tennessee mud sharks or whatever.
Tennessee mud sharks. Oh, my gosh. You know, one thing we probably should mention.
What?
Anyone who's in the Marysville area on June 22nd.
Yes, that's right.
You've got Minicon coming
up. That's right. That is not only Minicon, but my birthday. So come by, and it's a bash, you know? It's a party.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's at
Make
the
sure
pavilion.
You bring him a sugar-free cupcake.
That's right. Or a recording of Man of La Mancha.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
It's a free event if you bring Man of La Mancha.
You got to bring Man of La Mancha. So. You need to be able to sing at least two stanzas of Man of La Mancha.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah, so June 22nd, it'll be at the pavilion like last year.
1 o'clock?
Yes, or noon. 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock, because the farmer's market goes till noon.
That's right. So 1 o'clock.
So yeah, it's going to be great.
It's gonna be a blast. I can't wait for it. I've got to start getting stuff together now so that I'm ready.
Yeah, I need to start ordering some stuff.
Yeah.
I'm out of most of my product.
Oh, no. Yeah.
That's what happens when you're popular.
That's it. Yeah. Selling that stuff.
Yeah.
Making that coin.
That Bitcoin. I made a bit of coin, so it's Bitcoin.
Oh, but yeah. Well, that'll be fun. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
I think it'll be interesting to see how it goes because it'll be on my actual birthday, and I'm like, was that a good idea or not?
I guess we'll see. Yeah. Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Oh, you got anything else?
That's about it, you know. Yeah. It was a pretty eventful month.
Yeah. We packed a lot in there.
We did, you know. It was...
More than April. Yeah.
But, you know, April didn't have Nancy Fest.
It did not. No. So.
So.
And then next month we'll sing the praises of Minicon.
Yep. Minicon, and I'm sure I'll talk about more Stephen King. And,
yeah. Sounds good. Hopefully I got more reading done.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to reading more. It's been very, I don't want to say therapeutic, but it's just been very nice to read again.
You know?
Reading is such a pleasure for me. And, yeah.
I enjoy it too. It's nice to get back into it.
And I hope that I can, up my reading and because like I said, I'm almost halfway done with this book and I'm just like, this is amazing progress for me because I'm a slow reader and, I'm just like, but his writing is just so like fast pace in a way. Yeah, so it makes me want to read more. So I'm probably going to go home and read some after this.
Awesome.
I'm going to see if it bleeds.
Sounds good, man.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, cool. Well, oh, you know what?
What?
But yeah, so we almost forgot to talk about the survey question.
Yeah.
So we were bad. We didn't get it out. very early. We did have a few answers though, and the question was, if you lived in the Star Wars universe, which occupation would you likely have? An old guy from my, or an old guy, he probably wouldn't like it. I said
that.
But Chad mentioned entertainment organizer.
Okay. So he'd work with the Max Rebo band.
Exactly. And then this guy named Vance, he says he'd be the first stormtrooper to get shot.
Wow. Yeah.
What would you do?
I would be a librarian.
You'd work at the halls of Jedi?
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know. That's a good question. What about you?
You know what? I probably put more thought into this than I should have, because I don't think I'd want to live on Tatooine.
No.
So, you know what? Maybe I'd live on Endor, and I would make a truce with the Ewoks.
Yeah.
And I would be like a moonshiner. I'd be like one of those guys living up in the...
In the hills of Tennessee.
In the hills of Tennessee.
Yeah.
Making some moonshine. Yeah, I could see that working for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, do they have writers in the Star Wars universe?
Well, I don't see why not.
Because I've never seen any of them read anything.
You are correct. And they have no entertainment to speak of.
Yeah.
There's no plays. There's no... I mean, they have the races.
Yeah.
But yeah. Some gladiator-type entertainment. They're very dark ages,
yeah,
like, aren't they?
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah. Not very enlightened.
No.
Maybe they could use a good writer.
Yeah.
To help them. A nice bard.
Ooh, yeah. That would be my job.
There you go. All
right. I'd be a galactic bard.
A galactic bard. Speaking of which... That starts next week, too.
Yeah.
Our D&D group will be switching over to a Pathfinder campaign, and we'll be doing Kingmaker. Have you put much thought into your new character? Do you know what you're going to be?
Not a ton. I know I'm going to be a swashbuckler.
Ooh, a swashbuckler. Okay.
Yeah.
Very nice. I think I talked with Fallon. She's going to be a witch.
Oh.
Ethan's going to be a investigator... slash, I forget what the other part was. Maybe a rogue.
Mm-hmm.
I think Josh said he was going to be a sorcerer. I don't know what Kate's going to be. I don't think she knew the last time we talked.
Yeah.
I think I've got it nailed or whittled down. I'm either going to be a magus, or I'm going to be... I think what I'm going to probably end up being is a Thermitage. I hope I'm saying that right. But they're both fighters, and they both do some spells.
Mm-hmm.
But the Thermitage has some paranormal...
Oh, that's cool.
...things that they can do. And plus, they've got this spell that they can do that will show you the weakness... of your enemies. If you roll high enough, not only will you know the weakness that can take them down, but there's other ways you can hurt them. So that seems pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have to, between now and next Monday, I really got to start doing some research, because the last character I did was a barbarian, as most people will find out next month when we have our special episode from our group, right? So I didn't have to learn anything. I just had to smash things.
Right.
And there's a lot of spells wrapped up with this person. But yeah, so that'll be fun. What else was I going to say? Oh, I wanted to say a buddy of mine, Scott, that lives out Missouri way, had listened to our episode of Good Bad Guys.
Yeah.
And he wanted to throw in his two cents for someone that's that played a bad guy twice and did it well. And his was Ed Harris for his role in History of Violence and then Enemy at the Gate, which are both fine movies. And yeah, Ed Harris, like he does in a lot of films, really played that
delivers.
Well. He's Ed Harris is great as the Man in Black in Westworld too, so he's just good in a lot of stuff. But yeah, so anywho, hopefully we can come up with a good survey question for June, and we'll get it out there sooner than the last week of the month. That's all on me. Oh my goodness, I did not think that through.
That's okay. Well, it really sneaks up on you. The end of the month sneaks up on
it. It does, and you know, I try not to put it out too early,
yeah,
because then it just kind of gets lost,
right?
But yeah, I definitely need to do it sooner than a week before the end of the month. So
okay,
but yeah, so anywho, anything else?
That's it for me.
Hopefully your June is as good as your April was.
I hope so.
Or May,
yeah,
and your April.
be 32 in June, so we'll see how that goes.
We'll see how that goes. Wow. To be 32 again.
I guess I never thought about it that way.
Oh, man. What was I doing at 32? I had kids.
Well, you got me there.
I'm trying to do the math there. The one would have been hitting double digits, I think. No, that's not true. She was born in 02. No, so. Oh yeah, she graduated. That's something else we did.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Oh my gosh, that's something else we did in May. My oldest graduated college. So she is officially an adult now,
and
a member of the real world.
Yep.
So that was fun. We had some pizza in West Virginia, and it actually was some of the best pizza I've ever had. It was from a place called Napoli's. It was pretty darn good pizza, which surprised me, because it was, no offense to West Virginia, I just didn't think I'd be getting...
Not known for their pizza.
I didn't think I'd be getting that kind of pizza in West Virginia. It was really good. I was pleasantly surprised. All right. Well, hopefully you have a good June. I can't wait for Minicon. I'm looking forward to it, because Minicon's always fun, and it's the day before my vacation starts. So
party.
So we're gonna whoop whoop. So all right, guys. Well, thank you so much. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you guys had a good May and have a better June. And we'll see you next time around. Stay nerdy. We'll be right back.